All right, Chad HD Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. I still have a few light rain showers throughout the listening area. We'll take it. We'll be diminishing throughout the morning and into the afternoon. Joining me right now to talk a little Texas and national politics, our good friend Matt Mikowiak of MustReadTexas.com, GOP political strategist. Matt, good morning. How's it going?
Hey, Chad. Doing great. How are you today?
Doing all right. You were at Red State Gathering over the weekend, correct?
I was. It was a great event in Fort Worth. And, you know, one of the things that really struck me about it is they set up in such a way that the evenings had receptions that were hosted by different political figures. And since we were in Texas, Rick Perry hosted a reception Thursday night, Ted Cruz hosted Friday night, and Greg Abbott hosted Saturday night. And I was thinking about, is there any other state where you have three really solid conservatives that have, you know, huge grassroots support that could do that? And so it was a great weekend, a lot of great speakers, great energy, but it was particularly interesting that we had these three Texas conservatives host receptions for all the attendees.
Yeah, and from what I heard, they were all well attended, and Greg Abbott had a little bit of fun. What, Texas Motor Speedway is where Abbott's
right.
was? Yeah.
That's right.
That's fun. Abbott also, he fired up the crowd talking about Wendy Davis, calling Wendy Davis Obama's ideological twin. He had quite a few things to say about her.
Yeah, look, I mean, he understands how to communicate to the base, and I think that you know, one of Wendy Davis's problems is that her record is pretty liberal. An independent review of all the votes last session in the state Senate by a professor at Rice University found her to be the fourth most liberal senator in Texas, and out of 31. So she's got, you know, what, 4 years of votes in the Texas Senate. She's very liberal on most issues. She's tried to moderate here or there, including this preposterous and phony announcement that she's now in favor of open carry. She has a lifetime F rating from the NRA, so that doesn't seem very realistic. But look, you know, ultimately, you know, the Obama disapproval rating in Texas is as high as it is almost anywhere, and so tying her to Obama, at least in terms of policy, I think is a smart play, not just the gathering of conservative activists. I think that's something General Abbott and his campaign are going to do well beyond this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking of the Abbott-Davis back and forth, the campaigns are in the headlines after Wendy Davis and her campaign released an ad. And if you're Wendy Davis, you already have the Houston Chronicle calling it a risky ad to run, which is probably not good for the Democrats to hear. You know, they want some good news. And tell us a little bit about this ad, what you've heard about it, and how this might play, because it looks like some of the other political experts, the professors, aren't too hip on this.
Yeah, there's a lot to say on this, Chad, so I'll try to be as brief as I can. First of all, candidates don't normally go negative, and they don't go as hard negative as Wendy did with this television ad, a 60-second ad. Usually you run 30-second ads. 60-second ads are twice as expensive. 60-second ad dredging up a case that was before the Texas Supreme Court 20 years ago in 1993. It was a terrible situation where you had a home vacuum salesman that worked for a distributor for the Kirby Vacuum Company allegedly rape a woman in Seguin, Texas. What's interesting is, and obviously it's a terrible situation, he needed to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, but what's interesting is he actually wasn't prosecuted for the criminal act of the rape. What happened instead was there was another warrant out for his arrest, he was on probation, and the circumstances surrounding this brought that probation back. So that's how he got picked up. So what happened is the woman that was raped, I presume with the assistance of a trial lawyer, decided to sue Kirby, not the distributor for whom the salesman worked, but sue the large vacuum company company, Kirby. Sued for $1.7 million. The judgment was $200,000. And they chose specifically not to give her punitive damages, I think, of another $600,000. So she only got about, you know, whatever that is, one-ninth of what she asked for. So, you know, this is, and Abbott wrote dissenting opinion. He believed, and they were suing, saying there was negligence on the part of Kirby for not doing background checks on their salesmen. The salesmen are subcontractors to the distributor. Abbott wrote the dissenting opinion that said that it was basically the responsibility of the distributor to know who their salesmen are. Kirby doesn't engage in hiring salesmen. They engage in producing and manufacturing vacuum cleaners.
Right.
Again, I know that's a lot of explanation, but those are sort of the facts of the ad. And Abbott's dissenting opinion did not do anything to limit her ability to sue the distributor. So what does all this mean? What it means is you do not go this hard negative in the summer with your first ad. Usually you establish your positive image, you tell your biographical story. Wendy Davis in some ways has a powerful biography. And so to start this negative, it feels like a Hail Mary. And let me just finish this by saying the ad itself is $800,000.
Wow.
The number of points, though, is 245 gross rating points. A saturation level for an ad is considered 1,000 points. That means the average person could see it 10 times in 1 week. This instead means the average person would see it 2.5 times in 1 week. It's a fairly small buy. For a 60-second ad, saturation level in Texas would be anywhere between $3 and $4 million.
Right.
So I don't believe this is an ad that they want to put the kind of resources behind that millions of people will see it. I think they wanted to create a media stir and perhaps even try to impact a poll that they may be taking this week to try and get a little bit of a bump.
Yeah, I watched the ad, and it basically, for those who haven't seen it, we linked to it in the morning brief today, but it basically says that Greg Abbott supports corporations and supports corporations over women who have been raped. And it tries to paint him as the only person who would ever defend a corporation, which if you do get into the details, you can kind of see where Abbott was leaning on this.
That's right. And look, this is a kind of a twofer from their perspective. It tries to make him appear to be anti-victim, and it also makes him try to appear to be pro-corporation.
Yeah.
One of the other reasons I think this was a mistake for Wendy is, they picked the wrong issue to focus on for Abbott, because it's actually an issue on which he has a very strong record. I mean, attorneys general across the country, one of the things they do is they prosecute sexual assault criminals. And Abbott has put more of a focus on that and more dedicated resources to that than any attorney general in the history of the state of Texas. And the reason we know that is he's prosecuted more of these folks who committed sexual assault than all the other attorneys general in the history of Texas combined. So, you know, I just think that, you know, you generally want to attack someone on an issue where they're weak, not on an issue where they're strong. And I think that's what they've done here, and I think it's a mistake. And if I'm the Abbott campaign, I would probably respond with something that tells the positive story of the work he's done on these issues fairly soon.
Visiting with Matt Bukowiak. Matt, earlier you had mentioned that, you know, normally you introduce the candidate, you tell their bio. I think the problem there for the Wendy Davis campaign is they've got to figure out which bio to tell about Wendy Davis. You know, there's so many out there. Real quick, but as we wrap up, just your thoughts on this Hillary Clinton story that's out there, her going after Obama's foreign policy.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is one of the challenges that faces her is how do you distance yourself from Obama in sort of smart and calculated and shrewd ways, looking forward to the 2016 race, but do it in a way where you don't seem like you're throwing him completely under the bus, because you need his infrastructure, you need his donors, you need his operatives, and you need to keep the president on your team going forward. So this is a challenge, and someone said this morning on MSNBC, that this is not unlike the challenge that Al Gore had with Bill Clinton in 2000. Because even if you say, you know, even if you distance yourself, you were still there. You were in the room. You were in the cabinet meeting. You were there when the president made the decision. So, you know, it becomes one of these things where, you know, well, you know, did you make the argument? Why did you lose the argument to the president? If you didn't support him, you know, you had some other options at the time. You still are responsible for the Obama record because you're part of the team. So this is a challenge for her going forward. We're going to continue to see her distance herself from him. And I think the fact that she's choosing to do it on foreign policy is interesting because based on what's happening across the world, it's one of the areas where President Obama is weakest right now politically.
Absolutely. Tell folks what they can find on MustReadTexas.com today.
Yeah, just starting to update it after the weekend. Perry and Cruz were obviously in Iowa over the weekend. We'll have some links to that. We're also still in the kind of dog days of summer. But we'll be updating with all the top news from around the state of Texas and around the country that includes Texas at MustReadTexas.com, where you can sign up for our daily brief.
All right, Matt Mikowiak on Twitter, at Matt Mikowiak. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ted. Have a good one.
You too. We'll go ahead and we'll take the break. When we come back, a little more Texas news.